And perhaps this is where I was not a... I was a failed philosopher from the beginning, because I had... You know, it's like the Greeks. It was the beginning of the end, in my view, of philosophy. But for me, it was I had too much of an emotional connection with the ideas. You know, a little bit like this Lithuanian who came to France, who I love.
Who?
The Lithuanian philosopher, Levinas, Emmanuel Levinas. For me, it was very... This is the kind of philosopher I would have...
You're interested in phenomenology, I guess.
Sure. Merleau-Ponty touched me very much when I was younger. But phenomenology, that's also not necessarily a kind of academic approach to phenomenology. For me, when I think of phenomenology, now I think of a good choreographer, a dancer, because they have this very high level of understanding of how things look pictorially, but also physically. And they have an incredible relationship to their body, which is the home of your phenomenological apparatus. Yeah. And they also have a great, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Ils sont partout.
Yeah.
And,
noisy, parasites.
Yes. And so, anyways.
Yeah.
So sorry. Many of my heroes and teachers are now choreographers. Yeah. I'm constantly inspired by
them. So, you tell me that you started by studying philosophy and you gave up?
I gave up. I was totally intimidated of putting forward a thesis that everyone would laugh at. But then I chose this other profession where it's the same thing. You know, you put something out in the world and people can destroy it, you know?
Yeah.
So, literally or
people can be
theoretically.
Mean.
Yeah, but it's in our nature.
Let's go back to your painting, if you will. and we go back to the jungle after that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So tell me about your painting. Can you tell me about something
yeah,
about how do you paint?
How do I paint? I paint primarily I'm painting on the floor.
Yeah.
Then I move the paintings onto the wall, then back to the floor. And so for this reason, something's very important. I never stretch the painting until it's out of the studio. I don't stretch it in the studio. I never put it on support.
You don't like it?
I don't like it because then I can't physically engage in it, because some of the paintings I'm hitting with stones, I'm dragging, I'm pressing very hard, I'm hitting repetitively very fast, and it could be very easy if I had it stretched, I would rip the surface, no problem, very fast. So this is the kind of origin of the paintings. They're coming out of a very physical, a very sculptural place. I'm not looking for a visual composition until the end.
Earlier you were saying that, and it was it kind of astonished me in a way, you were saying that kind of, if I understood correctly, that when you put the paint on the wall, you feel like it's going to collapse on the floor, yeah?
Yes.
So how do you explain this feeling, I mean?
Well, it's a feeling that's doesn't originate in an idea. It's a feeling that originates in practice. If I just lift these paintings now off the screws, they're going to fall. I know this because I can react with them physically. I know I have this relationship, I think, because I put the paintings on the floor. I'm on top of them. Sometimes I roll them. Sometimes I fold them, I stuff them in buckets. That's why you have these creases. I take these sticks that are now sculptures and I push them into buckets. So I have this incredibly tactile, physical
and
relationship.
Quite violent also.
It can be looked at as violent, but for me it's
not in a bad way, I mean.
Yeah, no.
Not in
no,
a bad
it's
way.
Aggressive.
Yeah, right.
But because I want to see it, not only with my eyes, but with my body. You know?
Yeah.
Descartes, he was really wrong. You can't think, therefore you are. You know, it's impossible.
Of course.
I only know that an apple...
John Locke, much better.
Much better.
John Locke?
Yes.
John
sure.
Locke is far
yes,
better.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Far better.
But I prefer the Germans, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I know, it's embarrassing now. And,
no, it's not.
But
who
really,
do you prefer?
I'm afraid to tell you.
Come on.
Starts with an H.
Martin Heidegger.
Somebody like that.
You like metaphorical philosophy.
Well, I like that. What I like, I mean, I obviously don't. I'm not very proud of what turned out to be his political
ideas.
Yeah. Well, let's keep that out of the interview.
Yeah.
But what I'm attracted to really, really poignantly, what has also developed from his teachers, from Husserl and Hegel was the other one, right, that preceded him, was this very everyday connection with your physical reality. And, of course, this analysis of being. You know, I think he didn't get close to time or to space, really, but they got very close to being, because I think essentially they didn't try and figure out the how or the why, but they were able to talk about the ways in which being presents itself.
Yeah, maybe. But let's go back to your painting, yeah, if you will. So,
no, but for me, the painting.
If I understand correctly, when you see your paintings on the wall, I mean, it's quite unsatisfying for you. You're not satisfied, really, because you wanted to. You'd like them to be on the floor, rather, or it's okay now?
I think the idea for me, the ideal way is to have no artificial lights, to only allow the thing to live in every day. I love to see a painting also with the lights out. It has a different presence. I mean, for me, I can't look at a painting, whether it's of mine or someone else's, in one shot. A painting is something for me that has to have its own life.
Yeah.
It has to have some kind of autonomy. It has to change. So if I have a criteria about my own paintings, they have to react to light in different ways. So if I stand at the painting and see it frontal, like we are now, and then if we move 2 meters over and we look at it from a diagonal, if the painting is a good painting, we should see something quite different.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm pushing all the time. I want to make paintings that have multifacets, literal physical facets, that will have a different kind of a dynamic relationship with the light in the room. So, no, I'm satisfied only in the sense that I know that I can continue painting. I am not satisfied in the painted painting. A painting that is finished, for me, is the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's really the... It's really
get
the,
to move over
the
to another
end.
One.
Has to keep moving.
Yeah.
And so, because of that, I never start a painting fresh. I start a painting from where I finished the last painting. So that it's a... And you'll see in some of the paintings, the same marks. I literally used one painting to press against another painting. So that there is a literal continuation. So it's not me... It's not a concept, it's not a new idea that is beginning, it's the work itself.
Okay.
That finds its own beginning, regardless of me. That's why I say I don't like the colors in this painting. I didn't choose them, you know. It was chosen by the paintings next to it. It was established, it was directed by the other paintings.
Maybe naively we would suppose that the painter, before hanging out a painting on the wall, would be satisfied with the painting, especially the colors. But you just say the opposite. You don't like the colors.
No.
Still,
they are not my colors.
It's a done work. It's done.
I don't consider it done.
Oh.
I don't consider any of these paintings finished.
Sorry, excuse me?
But why are we here?
Repeat that.
Are you finished?
No, I'm not.
But why are you here?
But I'm not a painter. And neither a painting.
Yeah, but this is, for me, this is the essence of life.
You just said that you consider that none of your paintings are finished?
No, absolutely not. If you tell my dealer, they get quite upset about this, you know. But
so,
now it's been many years I've been saying this.
I can understand.
I cannot put a painting out that's finished.
I can hear that. Okay, but so if you consider the painting is not finished, at which point you say, okay, that's enough, I stop?
No, when it contradicts me.
Huh?
Yeah, for me it's ultra clear.
So
when
you start
when
to
my
paint.
Autobiographical manipulative prints have been expelled from the painting, when I no longer see a mirror of my
so
mark.
So for you, painting is a struggle.
Of course,
of
it's
course.
A struggle.
Yeah.
It's like making a baby. You know, they don't come out easy. You know.
I've noticed.
Yeah. For me, it has to be a struggle.
So,
because if it's not a struggle to make painting, then I think it's like, you know, heroin. You know, I don't want to be subdued. I don't want my paintings to make me dream. I want to stay here.
I'm very fascinated by the process which painters and artists use to create.
Sure.
So what you're saying is very, very interesting for that reason.
Yeah.
So if I understand correctly, when you start fresh a new painting, you struggle at once immediately, or you're just rather peaceful and then later come
from the first moment I touch the painting, it's a struggle.
First moment,
and I'm never standing. I'm constantly moving.
Yeah.
And I use materials that also are difficult to manipulate.
Yeah.
Because I want to be pushed by the painting at all times. You know, it's not like I want to abuse myself. So I try and find the threshold of where I'm in a constant struggle, but I'm not being destroyed by the painting, and vice versa. And that happens often. I become ill. I become overexhausted, or I destroy the paintings from the sanding or from the way I manipulate them. Many of them have fallen apart. There were two other paintings that were supposed to be in this exhibition that I destroyed.
Wow.
So because I pushed too hard, too fast. So, or the material was too wet, or the material was too dry, or, you know? And I want to, but it's important for me to always stay close to this threshold. At what point is the painting going to collapse? I don't want it to fully collapse, but I want to make it exist just before the collapse.
So you struggle with the painting so as to reach the point of collapsing of the painting.
Yeah, but not. I near. Don't want it near.
Near
it's
collapse.
Important. It's like in English the word tremors.
Yeah.
Which is before an earthquake.
Yeah.
This is where I want to live.
Nice.
I don't want the earthquake.
Beautiful.
But I take the tremors. Because it makes you a better papa, it makes you a better lover.
So if I follow your thought, when the painting tremors, you start, it starts to contradict yourself, no?
No, I would say that it should be, for me, my relationship with each painting individually should always exist in that place of instability, of a tremor, of... It should not become settled. I can see when the paintings start to settle, and then I destroy them, or I completely change them, or I'll take it and turn it upside down, or on its side. Now after, I don't know, 25 years, I know when a painting starts to fall asleep, you know? So I want to keep them in this place where they're constantly tremoring. When I talk about stopping, at what point do you release the painting? That contradiction happens on a number of levels. It happens compositionally, it happens with color, it happens with the speed of the painting. It has to be something that's foreign to me, that I can't, if I was to live with a painting, I'd prefer to live with maybe a Robert Ryman, you know. I love minimalism, pure minimalism, or maybe just one silhouette in my house.
Mm, yeah, you well, know? I would deal with that.
Maybe a Giacometti or something very, like, very, very...
Ellsworth Kelly also, maybe, one?
I could
Kelly.
Take one. I love his spirit, but I would pick... I don't know. I could go on. There's many paintings I would love to own.
Yeah, sure.
But these paintings, my paintings, I can't live with. I find them very... personally, because I have this relationship that they are pushing me. They're asking me to stand up and to engage with the world. And you know, sometimes when you go home, it's the last thing you want to do. You want to settle, you want to lie down, have a glass of wine, you know, put on a little Miles Davis and just relax.
Yeah.
Play with your child, work in the garden, you know. And this is the opposite for me. Painting is the opposite. It pushes me. It drags me up out of my chair and says, wake up.
The painting, in a way, just ask. Imagine just a fiction as I just make now.
Yeah.
The painting, when you come to it, I mean, when you start, it's like if she would say, "Come on, give me what you got," and I resist. It's a kind of a interplay like this.
No, I have this experience more that she's questioning everything that I've always stated is true. She's questioning my truth.
Wow.
This is what, for me, this is what good painting does.
So every gesture after that is an answer.
It's an attempt.
An attempt to answer this question.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Really nice talking with you.
Yeah.